Now, beginning in chapter 30 of Isaiah, we have another prophecy, of course. This prophecy is along a little different subject. It is speaking of the fact that the people of Judea, that we could refer to as Israel here, are denounced because they have been seeking aid from Egypt. Now, this is probably during the time that they were under the threat of attack from the Assyrian armies, particularly the army of Sennacherib. And Sennacherib was going to attack not only Judea, but he was going to go capture Egypt. And on the way to Egypt, he would take Judea. And what happened here is these people of Judea, that is, the people in Jerusalem, and probably even Hezekiah the king, decided that in order to secure themselves from this attack by the Assyrians, that they would go and make a treaty, go and make a pact with Egypt. And they joined together with Egypt and band with them with their strength, and then they united would stand against the armies of Assyria. But the problem here is that God never intended for his people to make any pacts or treaties with other nations like that. He intended for his people to depend solely upon him for their protection and their support. And so to turn to Egypt for help was a necessary turning from God. And God interpreted it in that way. You turn to Egypt for help, you turn from me. Because to be God's children is to be in the family of God, and really in a sense is to be married to God. And so it would be like a wife turning to somebody else for protection, and away from her husband, and the husband would have to interpret it then as meaning that she had forsaken him for somebody else because he sought protection from somebody else. So he begins in verse 1 of chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Now they are God's children. And he calls them here the rebellious children. Woe to the rebellious children. Woe means that a pronouncement of some dire judgment is to come. The rebellious children would indicate those that are children, that have been very close, that have been given the nurture and admonition of children, that they have now rebelled. And truly, folks, one of the most common sins of mankind is the sin of rebellion. Rebellion starts in the home. It starts as resentment against parents, resentment against authority. But it spreads from the home then to rebellion against society, rebellion against the laws of the land, and it spreads from there to rebellion against God. And truly, if a person is brought up in a home in which he is not given discipline, he's not given the love that parents must give, this is going to bring about rebellion. And it requires a mother and a father to really do this job right. So woe to the rebellious children. They turned against God. And now how did they turn against God? They take counsel, but not of me. Now they were seeking for some counsel. They were seeking for some advice, some help. But they didn't seek it from God. They sought it in other sources, other places. And you know, there's not a single human being today who is in his or her right mind that does not seek peace and comfort and security from some sources. We all want this. We all want peace and happiness and harmony. We all want it and desire it. And everybody seeks after it. But it's that elusive quality that is never found until a person seeks it from the right source. You must find it in God. Paul ends all of his letters except the book of Hebrews with grace and peace unto you from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God the Father. He doesn't end his letters, but he starts his letters with that. And so this grace and peace comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and no other source. There's no college, no kind of book learning that's going to give it to you. No group. It comes from God. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can seek after counsel, but if we don't seek it from God, then we're seeking it from the wrong sources. And we're going to end up as a failure. So that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering. Now this word here, cover, really should be translated properly as covenant. They make a covenant. So they're covering themselves with a covenant. And the covenant that they'd made was an agreement with another nation, the nation of Egypt. They made an agreement with Egypt, but not of my spirit. That is, I wasn't involved in it. I didn't tell them to do that. That they may add sin to sin. Now, this thing of adding sin to sin, it's also a very, very common practice. What it really means is that sins do not stand alone. In general, a person is not guilty of just one sin. For example, the sin of lying. It requires another sin to lie again and to cover up and to lead a deceptive life. It's most difficult to just lie one time and be successful and never lie again. Add sin upon sin. The sin of leading any kind of a deceptive life, whether it be committing adultery or fornication, or whether it be just hypocrisy in general. One sin calls for another. They add up. And you've got to take the thing all the way back to the very beginning now to really straighten it out. You can't straighten out one of these sins way down on the end and go on, because it's built on a whole series of sins. Sin upon sin. And so this covenant that they went down to Egypt to make was really just one more sin in a long line of sins. The basic sin began way back there. They'd begun to turn away from God and to not listen to Him and not heed to His counsel. They'd begun to lose their confidence in Him. They'd begun to look to temporal things, earthly things, for their comfort and their security. And so this ultimate going down to Egypt was just one more on a whole heap of sins. And so this covenant that you've made, he says, is just adding sin to sin. They walked to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Now, they walked to go down into Egypt. This word go down means to descend. And every reference to going to Egypt is to go down, whereas every reference to Jerusalem is to go up. You know, it's a little hard for me to get used to this when I first started studying the book of Acts. Every reference to Jerusalem was to go up. And so we read of Paul at Antioch going up to Jerusalem. Well, Antioch is north of Jerusalem, and I always want to say going down when you're going south. But when going to Jerusalem, it's up. And when you're going away from Jerusalem, it's down. And so this not only then would fit geographically that they were going down, going south in Egypt, but it also fits here in a religious, spiritual manner in that Jerusalem was up and to go away from Jerusalem was going down. So not only were they going down geographically, but they were going down spiritually. To go away from Jerusalem is to go down spiritually. And today, of course, we have a spiritual Jerusalem, not the literal Jerusalem over in Palestine. And so to go away from the literal, from the spiritual Jerusalem today would still be to go down. And to go to it would be to go up. So they walked to go down into Egypt, and I'm not asking at my mouth. They didn't even bother to ask me or to consult me. They took it upon their own selves to do so. And true today, how many decisions do we make that are grave decisions? They're going to affect our lives and maybe our eternal destiny, and we don't even bother to ask God or to consult His counsel on the matter. To strengthen themselves, here's why they were going down there, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. Now the word Pharaoh means the kingship of Egypt, just as the word Caesar would mean the emperor at Rome. So it was the king, who reigned over Egypt, so that they want to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. They wanted to use his strength, let a little bit of his power rub off on them, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. And this word shadow means shade. It'd be like if you were out in the hot sun and you want to get out of the sun, so you step under the shade and let the shade protect you from the rays of the sun and the heat. A term easily understood in the desert country of that day. Not too hard to understand here in Texas either. Therefore, and here's going to be the results of this. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And what he's simply saying here is that Egypt would be unable to help them. Egypt would not help them, and the alliance that they made with Egypt would fail. So the strength of Pharaoh is going to be your shame. It's going to result in your being ashamed of it. It's going to result in your having turned to something that has humiliated you, because it's not going to give you the help that you want. And so it is today, you know, when a person turns away from God to some other diversion for strength, for help, they come up bitterly disappointed and even ashamed of it.